Good morning, I'm Aaron Winiwiski. I'm the pastor here. And I'm just coming off of a week at family camp. I knew, though, in this week at family camp, where normally, they provide all the three big meals every day, but I knew I have a blood test coming up tomorrow that's going to determine whether or not like we can get like a lower rate on our insurance. So I had to like pass up piles of bacon. I didn't have to, but I thought I've got to do this. And I took a little bit of a health assessment leading up to this blood test that I'm taking tomorrow, and it just told me things that I already know. Like, okay, I need to exercise more. Well, I need to exercise, you know. I need to watch what I'm eating. I need to, you know, keep an eye on my weight. I need to get more of the good cholesterol in my system. Yesterday, actually, we got home from family camp, and I was like, boy, I know we've got like some of those fish oil pills somewhere here, and I found them and looked at the expiration date. It was over a year ago, and Michelle said, you know what, they're fine. So if I start going into some sort of shock here on stage, it's probably from bad fish oil. I don't know. I took it. We get into these situations where we are evaluating ourselves, where we're saying, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough of the right things? Am I avoiding the wrong things? And sometimes we get into that situation in our relationship with God. We're going to see that we're welcoming in some new members today, and part of the membership process here is to kind of evaluate. How are you involved in Sunday morning services? How are you involved in serving? How are you involved in relationally connecting with other people? And it's this like evaluation process, and we can look at that, and sometimes it can be just really downright depressing. We can ask the question, am I doing enough for God? When in the world could the answer be yes? Am I doing enough for God? Am I praying enough? Am I spending enough time in Scripture, reading, learning? Am I spending enough time with other Christians? Am I spending enough time with people who are not Christians? Am I sharing my faith? Am I spreading the good news? Am I spreading the gospel enough? Well, of course. Of course we're not. And yet that's how our minds tend to operate, and so we evaluate and we want to justify ourselves. So either we get caught up in this idea of, I've got to do more, and we're motivated to do more. Or we just back off and go, I can't. This isn't for me. I got to drop out because there's no way that I am going to be enough. The question I want us to ask today, and that I want us to get an affirmative answer to today, is not, am I doing enough for God, or have I done enough for God? The real question of faith, and the question that motivates us to do the right things when we have the opportunity and to avoid the wrong things, the real question, the right motivation comes from the question, has He done enough for me? And when we realize that absolutely He has, then our motivation can come not out of what do I need to do to earn His love, because that's going to be the wrong motivation every time. And we're going to get caught up. If you are able to come in here and say, yes, I've done enough for God, guess what? You've got yourself caught up in pride. You think you've done enough, and what you find out is, oh, see, now I've just fallen into another trap. It's got to be motivated out of love. And when we recognize that God has done enough for us, that Jesus Christ did enough for us when He died on the cross, then We can operate out of love. The doctor's potential scolding of me is not going to be enough to motivate me to exercise on a regular basis. That's just not how I'm wired. Now, some of you are wired that way. You're rule followers. You floss every day. It's just not, I floss like the 4 days leading up to a dentist appointment. The scolding is never going to be enough to motivate me. If, however, I think about being around for my kids because I love them, if I think about being around for my wife because I love her, and not just being around, but being at my best, if I can think about my love for them, maybe then my motivation is in the right place. And when we recognize what Christ has done for us, that His sacrifice is sufficient, His mercy is enough, His love is great enough, then we can find that our response to Him to do what we know is right and to avoid what we know is wrong comes out of a desire to honor Him, to glorify Him, to express love and gratitude to Him. And as we do that, we're on the right track. Jesus warns us that people are going to say, they're going to do amazing things in His name, all kinds of great things. And yet at the end, to many of those people, He's going to say, I don't even know you. I don't know you. His desire is for us to have a relationship with Him, to respond to His act of love with our honor, with our obedience, with our love to Him. So I'm going to remind us this morning what He has done. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 17, we see Jesus getting together with His closest disciples. It says, on the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare the Passover meal for you? As you go into the city, He told them, you will see a certain man. Tell him, the teacher says, my time has come, and I will eat the Passover meal with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did as Jesus told them and prepared the Passover meal there. The Passover meal was a special remembrance of what God had done. And it goes back to the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, being in Egypt, and they're growing as an ethnic population within the Egyptian population. And eventually the Egyptians, they want more. They're a growing power, and they want to grow as a power, and they don't want their power to be threatened. So they take this group of people, thousands and thousands of them, and they enslave them in order to advance their own empire, their own kingdom. For hundreds of years, this group is enslaved, and they cry out to God, and God hears their cry. He hasn't abandoned them. And He sends plagues to Egypt to show the power of God. 9 plagues happen, and the heart of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, is hardened against the Israelites and against God. He just will not accept the power of God. So God says, I'm going to send a final plague, a 10th plague. And you Israelites, my people, need to be ready for this plague. In order to get ready, go and take a lamb from your flocks. Slaughter the lamb. Take the blood of the lamb, put it on the outside of your door, and then take that lamb and cook it, prepare a meal, and don't leave any leftovers. And He gives instructions about this meal. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. Now this is hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born, hundreds of years before He shared the Passover meal with His followers. These are your instructions for eating this meal. This is from God. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hence, the name of this meal, the Passover meal. It's remembering a time when God's hand of judgment passed over the people who acted in obedience to Him. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is the law for all time. So this is the meal that Jesus is sharing with His disciples. They're remembering that God's strong arm saved their ancestors out of slavery. And then Jesus repaints this meal for His disciples. Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is My body." And He took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is My blood, which confirms the covenant between God and His people." A covenant is an agreement between humanity and God. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Jesus is making a new covenant, a new agreement. He's taking this Passover meal and He's saying, "You did remember that the lamb's body was broken and you ate that in preparation for the journey out of slavery and into the promised land. I'm telling you, My body is going to be broken. And this is something you're to do in the future. Instead of just remembering the Passover out of Egypt, you're going to remember that My body was broken for you." Instead of taking the blood of the lamb and putting it on the outside, on your doorposts, I'm telling you, I'm the Lamb of God. This is My blood. Put it in you. Drink this. It's a new covenant. It's a new agreement between God and man. Now, in some churches, they'll teach that as you practice communion, or as some will call it, the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table, that they'll teach that the bread or the wafers literally become, they transform into the literal body of Christ, that you are literally eating the flesh of Christ, that the wine is literally the blood of Christ. It transforms its substance. And that's not how we operate here. I don't feel like that is necessary, that Christ needs to be broken, that He needs to be sacrificed continuously. I believe that when He said, "It is finished," when He was on the cross, it truly was finished. That Christ, His body was broken, His blood was shed once for all time. And what He was saying to His disciples was not, "You need to take in My literal flesh and blood." He was saying, "You need to remember what I have done. Just as you remember the Passover, you need to remember what I have done. And you need to remember that I have done enough for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Remember it." This new covenant that He talks about, Heather, I'm not even going to read this whole section of Scripture. If you wanted to read it, you could read it in Jeremiah 31. This is a prophet before Jesus looking forward to a new covenant between God and man, where God says, "I'll forgive their wickedness. I will never remember their sins." There is forgiveness that comes. Remember, in Egypt, their hearts were hard against God, and God was going to judge them for worshiping other gods. But to the people who would hear his voice, the people who would follow his instructions and exercise his Passover meal, he'd pass over them. He'd go over them. He would not enact judgment on them. When we acknowledge what Jesus did on the cross, when we believe that what he did was enough, rather than taking on the judgment of God, his judgment passes over us. It goes to the cross. We're not in a relationship with God where he's looking for ways and looking for reasons to judge you and to punish you. He loves you so much that he gave his son. Not so that whoever does enough to please him will not perish, but whoever believes in him, whoever trusts what he did on the cross, will not perish, but will have eternal life. Paul shows us that the disciples understood this Last Supper, this First Communion, as a continuing symbol. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, when we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ? And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body. Paul explains that the church, the gathering of disciples, is the body of Christ. It's communion because we're expressing our union with Christ, and we're expressing our unity with each other. In this way, it's kind of like we're a married couple who's renewing their vows. We're renewing our vows with God. We're reminding ourselves that what he did was enough, and we're expressing to him, we believe in the forgiveness that comes from the broken body and the blood of Christ. It's a reminder of the covenant. We're going to share communion together today, and I want you to take a few minutes and reflect. I want you to think about the ways that you've considered, have I done enough for God? The guilt that you carry from your past, am I doing enough for God? The fear that you carry for the future, and I want you to remember that it was nailed to the cross, that it isn't about, have I done enough to earn his love? You might even be sitting out there and thinking, I'm going through such suffering right now. How could he allow me to go through that suffering? Maybe you're thinking, God isn't doing enough for me right now. And what we need to remember is he already did enough. And for us to sit at the base of the cross and to remember the broken body of Christ who lived an innocent, perfect life, who was betrayed and would have been betrayed by us had we been there. His body broken, his skin shredded by whips for us. To sit at the cross and to say to him, you haven't done enough for me, is an absolute insult. If you're sitting here and wondering, how could God allow me to go through this? He isn't doing enough for me. I want today to be a reminder. No, he has already done enough. And his love for you has not gone away, even if you're going through difficult times right now. His love for you endures. How are we responding to him? Not out of duty or obligation or fear or guilt. How are we responding to him out of love? So I want you to think about that as we share communion together. We've got baskets of bread up here. We have a gluten-free option on this side. We've got baskets of bread here. So what we do is we just take a few minutes to reflect and to remember. And a line will form here when you're ready. And when you get to the end of the line, you can go to the right or to the left. A line will form over here. You can go to the right or to the left. If it looks like one line has a lot more people in it than the other, just go to another. There's nothing magical about the lines. What we're doing together, as we eat this bread, and you'll take a piece of the bread and dip it, dip a little bit of the bread into the cup, dip the bread into the cup, and eat the bread with the grape juice on it. As we eat that, what we're doing is remembering, Christ, what you have done is enough for me. I want to be unified with you. I am unified with those who put their faith in you. Together, we are the body of Christ, and we're partaking in the body of Christ together. So lines will form here, and music will be playing. And if you're there, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm not sure that Jesus did die on the cross for my sins. I'm not sure. Oh, I pray right now that you would come to that realization, that you would ask the question, has God done enough? And that you would say yes, and that you'd respond with faith. And if you do that today, then this is a transition in your life from being destined to hell, being destined for judgment, to instead being destined for life eternal, being destined for acceptance into the kingdom of God. This is an amazing day for you then, and heaven is rejoicing. If this is the first day you've been really posed with the question, is what Christ did for you, is it enough? If you respond for the first time with yes, it is enough, then I want you to participate in communion. I want you to say to someone who you're here with today, or say to me, I got it for the first time. I believe. If you're not there, if you're not at that point, if you've never been at that point before, I would invite you to just stay in your seat and silently pray and talk to God. Let this be a time of reflection. If you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, if you call yourself a part of the body of Christ, this is a time for us to remember that. So I'm going to uncover these. We're going to play some music in the background. And after everybody's had a chance to go through the line, we're going to pass baskets around. That for those of you who are disciples, who express your love to God through worship, one of the ways we worship is through giving a financial offering. You can put a financial offering in the basket. And again, if you're not at that point, we never want people to give out of fear, out of obligation, out of guilt. We want people to give joyfully as an expression of love to God and as an expression of support to what He's doing in the life of this church. So baskets will come around. You can fill out a communication card during this time and drop that in the basket as they come around. And after the baskets go around, I'm going to reconnect with you. Right now, we're going to pray as we go into this time of communion. God, I do declare boldly today the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was enough to take on the wrath, the judgment, the hatred that you have for rebellion and sin. It was satisfied on the cross, God, once for all time, and for that we are grateful. I pray, God, that as we go around and ask the question, am I doing enough? God, that you would shake us up and wake us up to recognize that no, we're never going to do enough. And that's why Christ died for us, so that instead of worrying about earning your love, we could acknowledge that you've already expressed it through Him. And God, that we'd be free to love you in return. I pray, God, that that would be a truth that is deep in our hearts, that we are only worthy because of the forgiveness, because of the new life offered through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and who rose again to show that we are no longer slaves to death, that we partake in eternal life through Jesus Christ. God, let us live in that freedom, and let us remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ as we share in communion today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We got involved in a missions project years ago, and it was supporting people who are being led out of human trafficking in India, and one of the ways that we support that is through a shirt sale. And I promise you, we didn't plan this. I'm going to invite Micah Poyer, our church chairman, up. Yeah, we didn't contact each other beforehand. We just happened to buy shirts at the same missions fundraiser. This is not doing much for our initiative to diversify within the church. But I am going to turn things over to Micah. We're going to cover a little bit of business this morning. This has some information about what's going on in the life of the church. It's kind of an annual report and a projected budget for next year. If you want to look at one of these, take one home, crumple it up and throw it away, we've got a just slip your hand up and we'll get one. We'll get one to you right now. If you don't have one to look at right now, you might want to. No, you don't. Yes, okay, some people do. Okay, great. All right, yeah, we've got some folks passing around. Is that okay if I do that while you begin? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I am Micah Poyer. So at this time, we're going to kick off our call to order, our annual meeting. So let's start that by praying. Lord, we thank you and praise you for the body of believers that you have called and that you have put together at New Day. We thank you for all of the talents and resources that you have provided to do your work. Thank you for the strength that you've given this church. As we start our next year, help us to be unified even more in you to serve and worship you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So in order to have a members meeting, specifically an annual meeting, we need to take attendance of all the members that are here. So I'm going to go through our member attendance sheet. And as I call your name, please raise your hand, and Michelle and Bronwyn will hand out a ballot to vote on some of our business items. And if I mispronounce your name, I apologize. Starting from the top, Chuck Allen, Karen Allen, Mark Allen, Rachel Allen, Michelle Barrett, Kim Bjorklund, Nancy Boodle, Christy Bussey, Steve Bussey, Heather Carpenter, Dave Drace, Rondi Drace, Julie Dewis, Eric Erdman, Dan Gorelski, Jessica Gorelski, Chad Grundeman, Heather Grundeman, Dennis Halkuski, Paula Halkuski, Mary Jean Hoppe, Corey Lamberg, Mitch Lamberg, Jean Marcus, Tina Marshall, Jan Martin, Heidi Mobley,
yeah, she's there.
Kevin Mobley, Randy Niter, Tiffany Niter, Joseph Nikolai, Carrie Nazewski, Melissa Poyer, Kara Rendell, Amy Rustin, Brent Rustin, Matt Schuers, Ben Solheim, Doug Sukup, Michael Stuland, Jamie Turner, Lori Ullenbrock, Lee Vergine, Lynette Volkers, Mike Volkers, Carrie Van Echten, Megan Warish, Kathy Westberg, Norm Westberg, Marcy Wiegand, Russ Wiegand, Aaron Winowiski, Bronwyn Winowiski, Michelle Winowiski, Tom Winowiski, Dale Rock, and Jacqueline Zastro.
Cool, thanks. Those are folks who went through the membership class, they did the membership paperwork and said, yeah, we want to be part of the body of Christ that votes, that are candidates to be leading a ministry, to potentially be on the church board, to potentially represent this church at Converge functions, the network of churches that we're that we're involved in. And we do want to welcome. We've got six new members: Chuck Allen, Karen Allen, Mark Allen, Rachel Allen. Oh my goodness. The other two aren't Allens. Ben Solheim and Mike Stulen are all new members. I know we've got the Allens here. Let's welcome them into membership. All right, and I did mention the church board. So part of this process is reaffirming our church board members. Take it away.
Right. So at our annual meeting, we reaffirm the current church board members. So you'll see on your ballot there's a spot for you can vote either yes or no to affirm the existing church board members and include any specific concerns you have when you vote. And then during the annual meeting, we also affirm new church board members. So we should have a picture of all the new church board members who were candidates who are now actually part of the church board.
Or we're voting now to
right.
make them, yeah.
Right. And those are Stephen Christie Bussey and Mike and Lynette Volkers. And it's important to note that our Constitution states that church board members cannot lead a ministry. And these two couples have been very involved leading ministries, so we will need to work on a transition plan for successors and leadership for the welcoming ministry, kids club, and nursery. So you can find the section on your ballot to vote for these candidates and mark either yes or no. Pastor's report.
All right, just a short update on staff. I, by the way, I am the only person who is on both the church board and the staff team. The staff team is our ministry team leader. So what Micah was saying there is if someone is a ministry team leader, they cannot also be on the church board. If they're on the church board, they cannot also be on the staff team. That's a basically the church board, they're my boss, and I am the staff team's boss. So to have people who are on the staff team be my boss, but I'm their boss, it just gets a little bit, it gets a little bit confusing. We have, in the last year, we've had a change in the staffing plan regarding a music team leader. We have hired an office staff member, Rachel Allen, who is, she's coordinating the small groups ministry. She's supporting our volunteer ministry team leaders. And you see Rachel sometimes come across the stage and do next steps. She's been doing an amazing job since November when she came on board. And rather than having a paid staff member in the music team leader position, I've been serving as the kind of leader for the direction of the music team. And Jacqueline Zastro has been serving as the coordinator, kind of making sure that everything is scheduled and we've got all the resources that we need. And Jacqueline is one of our vocalists who, she's not here today, but many of you have said that that you really appreciate the job that she's doing on stage. She's also doing an amazing job behind the scenes and helping to coordinate music. Note on building, we met with Keller Builders. We did a needs analysis, and we're still waiting to hear back from them what they have to say, and I will definitely let you guys know what kind of thoughts we prayerfully come to after receiving information from them. They'll give us some idea. If we built a building, what size would it need to be? If we bought a piece of land, how large would it have to be? And then we can get some idea what the costs would have to be. And then we can pray that God would provide. Everything's going fine in this building right now. We're not anxious. We're trying to be good stewards and be ready for when God says to go. So that's what's happening with building. Financial report?
Yep. So you should see some numbers up on the screen in a second. So 2016-2017 fiscal year end, our fiscal year income was $189,143 versus what we projected to be $204,000. Our fiscal year expenses were $185,888 versus what we projected to be $196,529. And so that's a positive difference of $3,254. So our reserves continued to increase, and that was mainly because we started the year with staff vacancies, so we didn't spend as much money as we planned on there. And we're glad to have Rachel on board since November 1st, leading our small groups, coordinating that, and also providing administrative support. So our new budget proposal, our projected income is $184,990, and we project that we will need a weekly offering of $3,269, but our projected expenses will be $3,810, so that means that difference will need to come from reserves that we've built up. So in last year's business meeting, we mentioned that we had 17 contributors that have dropped off, so we're keeping an eye on attendance and offering. We have sent the budget proposal to members via email, and we have hard copies in back if you want to look that over. So at this time, on your ballot, vote either yes or no to adopt the proposed budget.
I'd like to interject just a short note that I actually meant to do this as part of my little update. This is one of only two times in two periods in the history of our church where our attendance and offering is lower this year than it was the previous year, which might be alarming or might cause some kind of some kind of panic, or it certainly causes us to ask why, what's going on. And believe me, these conversations are happening in the office staff, in the staff team, and in the church board. And really, bottom line, at this point in the life of the church, although those numbers of measure, the attendance and the offering, are lower, there are other ways, other measures of the health of a life of the life of a church. And if you were here last week and heard about backyard missions, you can get a sense that although those numbers are lower, there are fantastically healthy things happening. And as an organism, or organization is healthy, it will grow in the right ways. And I just really believe that there are some really healthy things in place right now. So I'm not sounding alarms. I'm not freaking out. I believe that as we are healthy, that God will give us what He wants to trust us with, and that will be that will be growth. That's how the church works. That's what the promise of Jesus was, that He would build His church. So I believe that is happening, and I'm not real alarmed by sometimes people describe it as the noses and nickels method of determining church health. How many noses are in the room and how many nickels are in the basket. There are other measures of church health that I'm honestly just really excited about. So, thanks.
At this time, I'd like to invite the band to come back up to finish the service. And as they do that, please pass your fold your ballot and pass it to the center aisle so we can collect those. This concludes our business meeting. Thanks.
Do we still have Michelle in the room, or who's? Do we have collectors collecting? Yes, we're collecting. Okay, good. Yeah, as the band comes up, I want to thank you guys for your patience during a business meeting where we are voting. This information has been available for a couple of weeks now, so people have had a chance to ask questions and to dig deeper into it. This is a part of being the body of Christ. We want to be responsible with what God has given us. We want to not just fly by the seat of our pants, but to be prepared to do well with what He's given us. So thank you, Micah, for being the church board chairman. Thank you, church board. Thank you, staff team. Thank you, office staff, for providing that kind of skeleton that makes all of the worship we have on Sunday morning, the ministry that we do within these walls and out in the community possible. That's what the business meeting is about. I know sometimes it's like, do we really have to? Well, yeah, and we're happy to do it because it honors God. So thank you for being a part of that. I think we want people to stand up now and honor God with our voices. As you stand, can I pray, or did you wanna?
You go for it.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. God, as we've taken a moment to check the health of the church and to give people a voice in seeing and understanding where we've been and where we're going, God, we're grateful to you. We do believe that you have done enough and that you continue to provide. God, may we be faithful. And may we be ready to spread the gospel to more people. And God, may you give us all that you've prepared us for. May our worship be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.